there's the tiny little ones I just gave to the children. The cross is the symbol of our Christianity. The oldest cross found in Christian art is a tiny ivory carving on the side of a box from the late 4th century. Our crosses are still often made of the finest metals, adorned with valuable stones crafted from polished wood. But as Martin Luther asks in his catechism, was ist das, or what does that mean? What exactly does the cross mean? We forget what the cross meant in the 1st century. It was used for brutal public torture, humiliation, and death, usually reserved for the worst criminals or those who threatened Rome's power. It was a symbol not of Jesus, but of Rome's oppression of the Jewish people. Execution by crucifixion was common in the Roman Empire, and early Christians were understandably horrified by the cross. At the time at which this gospel was written, Christians were literally bearing crosses and losing their lives. It wasn't until after Emperor Constantine outlawed crucifixion 300 years later that Christians adopted the cross as the symbol of God's grace. So when we hear Jesus say, "Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me," we should be like Martin Luther and ask ourselves, "Was ist das? What does this mean?" We know that Jesus suffered immensely on the cross, and we are often tempted to equate the cross with any type of personal hardship we may be facing. When we face a trying time, we might say that we are taking up our cross. Tragically, these words have been misused so that people may feel they must suffer in silence. Please know, suffering in silence is not emulating Jesus. It doesn't bring healing or accountability, and it is not what Jesus calls for in discipleship. In Jesus' world, the cross was not about personal suffering or personal challenges or personal hardship. The cross was a symbol of corrupt power. When the corrupt powers of the world did not realize was that Jesus, by taking up his own cross, overpowered this worldly power in ways they couldn't even imagine. Jesus entered into the shame, humiliation, suffering, and death of the cross, not as an act of submission to the powers of the world, but as an act of protest against the powers of the world. And Jesus overcame them with his resurrection. Jesus calls for us to take up your cross is a call to a life of protest against all the systems of oppression that seek to overpower God's reign. This idea was so shocking to Peter that he actually rebuked Jesus. "No way," Peter argued, "are you going to suffer and die, let alone on the cross." It's easy for us to kind of skip over Peter's shock because we know the rest of the story. We know of Jesus' resurrection, and our discipleship really costs us our lives. Even during Lent, it's easier to look backward at the compassionate and welcoming Jesus and forward to the triumphant Jesus without pausing on the agonizing and suffering Jesus. This contrast between Jesus' suffering on the cross and Peter's denial of that suffering is what Luther calls the theology of the cross versus the theology of glory. The theology of glory is what Peter wanted. The theology of glory is built on our assumptions of how things should be in life and how a God is expected to act. Powerful, ready for retribution. A theology of glory prefers accomplishment to suffering, glory to humility, wisdom to folly, and thus evil to good. The theology of the cross, on the other hand, is grounded in weakness, suffering, and death. The theology of the cross contradicts everything that we imagine God should be, but it is how God reveals God to us. To Luther, to truly know God is to know God in Christ, which means to know God hidden in the suffering. The way things should be is the theology of glory. The way of God is the theology of the cross. Our culture, like Peter's, prizes success and achievement, personal fulfillment, power, status, wealth, and a denial of any pain or suffering. This is the theology of glory. A theology of the cross declares the church is not Christendom, faith is not a certainty, hope is not optimism, and love is not painless. The truth about God can confuse us, just like it did Peter. The truth is that God's mercy is given to sinners, not just the righteous. God's strength is seen as weakness, not displayed in power. God's wisdom is veiled in parables, not in self-help quotes. And God is found in the uncertainty, danger, and suffering, exactly where we often feel God's presence the most. God's life is disclosed in death. God reveals God at the foot of the cross in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus tells us this very clearly. Those who follow the theology of glory will lose their life. Those who follow the theology of the cross will find it. Thomas A. Kempis, a medieval priest, writes, "All that matters is the cross and dying on that cross. There is no other way to life and real inward peace except the way of the Holy Cross and of daily dying to self. Go where you like, look for what you like, you will not find a higher way above or a safer way below than the way of the Holy Cross. The cross is always close by and waits for you everywhere. You cannot escape it wherever you may run. If you carry your cross with gladness, it will carry you and lead you to that longed-for goal where there will be no more suffering. If you carry it grudgingly, you will make it a burden and weigh yourself down. But all the same, you will have to bear it. If you throw one cross aside, you will certainly find another, and possibly one that is heavier to bear. So the next time that you pick up your cross to wear it, or display it in your home or see it at church, ask yourself, Vasistas, what does this mean to you? Do you see in that cross a theology of glory or the theology of the cross? So, dear church, come to the altar. Come to the cross. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds unto Christ Jesus. Please rise for the hymn of the day.